What's up, everybody, and welcome into Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. We got Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm and Gabe Neitzel. Well, he's on assignment for ESPN Milwaukee. Doesn't have the time for us on this holiday week, but he's on assignment.
A busy man. He's all over the place.
He is. You can find him through the fillings of your teeth because he's everywhere on ESPN Radio. Well,
that is accurate.
We got so much to talk about here because it is a great time to be a professional wrestling fan. We like to remind you, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, check out YouTube, youtube.com. Make sure you go to Good Karma Wrestling. Hit that subscribe button. We're on TikTok as well for Good Karma Wrestling. We are on Instagram at Good Karma Wrestling. So make sure that you check out all of our platforms for Good Karma Wrestling. There's so much great action. And so what are we leading with today, Ryan? Because, again, we are chock full of so much wrestling conversation.
Yeah, that starts Saturday in Toronto. The briefcases will be hanging above the ring. Money in the Bank 2024 from Toronto. So time to get those predictions in. Who's winning the briefcases Saturday night in Toronto?
Okay, so let me start with the men's side first, because I'm starting to think that Drew McIntyre and CM Punk are playing cat and mouse. This is like the Tom and Jerry show. This is what's happening right now, right? This is the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner going back and forth, because even though they have not wrestled in a match yet, there's so much drama. So for Monday Night Raw in Boston, we saw that Drew McIntyre won his matchup in a great match, I thought, with Ilya Dragunov and of course, Sheamus. I got a feeling that Drew McIntyre has, like, some momentum. I feel like that he can win Money in the Bank, but, of course, somehow, some way, CM Punk will get involved. I'm leading toward him.
So that's the intriguing part to me of this match. Look at who's in it. Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, Chad Gable, LA Knight, Drew McIntyre. It's a good collection where you look at and you're like, you know what? I'm okay with everyone in this match winning except Andrade. The rest of them, you look at and you're like, any of these guys holding the briefcase, like, that's a good story. I agree Drew has that momentum. I agree Drew deserves a title run. But because of the Punk part, I don't think he wins. I think Punk ultimately cost him, and that adds to their story. Then they go into SummerSlam and things like that. So when you look at who's going to win, to me, I feel like it's Jey Uso or LA Knight finally winning something big.
So Jey Uso, I think that that would be my second choice, but I would like to know what that looks like, because he's got to come back into the family and fight this whole thing with Bloodline versus Bloodline 2.0. I mean, yeah, I guess he could still be there doing the yeet and the glasses and holding up the briefcase, but somehow, some way, he's had to come back into this mix with Roman and Solo and everything else.
Well, so there's your storytelling. He goes to cash in, and all of a sudden, you know, he gets a Samoan Spike or Jacob Fatu comes out there, and he loses a cash in. Then all of a sudden, you give him the moment of winning the briefcase. You don't have to put the world title on him, and now he's right back in the Bloodline story. Problem solved.
We check it off one by one. I like Drew. I like Jey Uso as my second choice. But then it gets a little murky. Even though we feel that Chad Gable should have been Intercontinental Champion, you know, he's in a meaningful storyline, getting plenty of TV time. This whole thing with Otis and his old group, and the possibility that Chad Gable is going to be attacked again by the Wyatt Six. Who knows? I think that he having the champion, an opportunity for the championship is great. Carmelo Hayes is still green to me.
Yeah.
We watch him and it's like, okay, so what's the difference between you and, say, Austin Theory? It's kind of like the same character, right? So maybe it's too early for him. And then LA Knight, of course, I mean, a crowd favorite. I like when he's out there. He still gets a reaction. Imagine him in this situation. Is he ready to step up to the next level? I still think that matchup against Roman at Crown Jewel hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the funny part. Like, a guy like him, a guy like Jey Uso, who, as over as he is, maybe he's missing something in the ring right now. Like, once the bell rings, like, him as a singles guy just isn't doing it for me. Those are guys that, like, the briefcase would mean a lot to, but could you see them being world champion on either show? And I just don't see it with some of these guys.
No, but I think it's a good problem to have, though.
Sure.
Brian, because there were some times where it's just like, here's four guys, and the rest of them are just filler for the road.
Right.
But you could see Drew McIntyre. We've been seeing Drew McIntyre. We could envision him as heavyweight champion. We can see that with Jey Uso. Again, we got to see what happens with the bloodline. But here we go with LA Knight, though. It makes me wonder if they're looking at LA Knight the way they looked at Daniel Bryan in WWE, in which the crowd's with you, but is he a guy that can carry the company? And I say, if the crowd's with you, why can't he be the guy at some point for the World Heavyweight Championship?
I guess. To me, like, he's just like Jey Uso. We're, like, over with the fans, and with the WWE, it's different. Like, you're not getting a five-star match out of those guys. And I guess in that world, I don't know if that matters, but, like, to me, that sort of hinders his, you know, promise of being a world champion.
Can you get a five-star match out of Jey Uso? I think what it needs to happen is for us to see him more often in that situation in big singles matches. I know people listening and watching are like, wait, what about this match? However, on the biggest stage, he and his brother laid an egg.
Yes, they did.
I think they kind of know that too. I know that the thought is, well, their time was cut. That doesn't matter, man.
No.
If your time's cut and you're down to 8 minutes, whatever it was, and you have to devise a card that's entertaining and memorable. It's not going to be, you know, a five-star, six-star match, but it should have been better than what it was. And for a rivalry where two brothers dislike each other,
right,
it just seemed like they're kind of going through the motions at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, nothing but super kicks and things like that. It was one of the most disappointing matches of that entire weekend that was filled with highlights. It was a damn good show both nights. So I think that's in their heads. The Chad Gable stuff, like, I still don't know why they didn't pull the trigger on the IC title, which makes me think they're definitely not going to pull the trigger on a world title run. So you look at it, and maybe the briefcase makes someone into a star. Maybe, you know, we've seen so often when that cash-in happens, it's a moment. It's a memory. You know, you get the reaction, and maybe it's a temporary thing, and they just do it looking at it that way.
And the reason why that Andrade is, you know, 50,000 to one to win this is because he's speed champion. He gets tired after 3 minutes.
Of course. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, cross contaminate those titles and things like that. But this is their way to say, hey, look, we use Andrade. We're better than Tony. They put him in a Money in the Bank match.
That's what ruined Ricochet's career. The 3 minute match. That's what happened. Now he's in the Indies, or he's going to go to AEW at some point. I just think that's, you know, I agree with you when you talk about what the Money in the Bank is supposed to be. It's supposed to make somebody.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, I just think that the story of Drew trying to get back up there again, Jey Uso would be my second favorite. If Drew doesn't win it, I think that Jey Uso should be in that spot. Because look how he opened up Monday Night Raw in Boston. Man, the fans are behind him. They love him. He's an energetic ball of energy.
And I think the best thing, and this goes to Triple H's booking, is just like having so many guys you look like, all right, they could be a star. Like, I just pulled up the 2022 Money in the Bank. That was the one won by one Austin Theory that he then cashed in on, not a world title. Looking at the competitors in that match, Drew was in that also. He wasn't at the level he is now. Madcap Moss was also in that match, as was Omos and Riddle. Those were some of the other competitors in that year's Money in the Bank.
A thin Money in the Bank there.
Yes, and they also threw in Rollins, Sheamus, and Sammy, who I think were sort of filler at that time also.
Wow.
So they've grown a lot since then.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Boy, you mentioned Omos. Wow. He was at the Hall of Fame. That's the last time I saw him at the Hall of Fame. He's on social every now and then, and Madcap Moss is out of the company.
Yes, and I think that speaks to a lot of the character development and things like that. So this is a step in the right direction. I like that there's so many different guys that could legit be contenders, and it shows the growth of this company right now and how hot they are.
So I think Toronto's going to be on fire, definitely, for Money in the Bank. And we've always got our three count. By the way, still to come, we have a very special guest, actually two guests, that's going to be with us as we get ready for All Elite Wrestling taking place in Chicago at the Wintrust Arena.
And I'll say this, two interviews, three guests, technically. One of them two for one.
And that is true. Kyle Fletcher and Sky Blue are going to be with us here later on our show. Also, we will hear from the great Willow Nightingale. Apparently, it's my birthday because Willow Nightingale's coming on the show. Willow Nightingale. Oh, be still in my heart. Here's our three count, starting with number one.
Before the three count, what about the women's side? You know, the women's side, also a really good match. So that, we have Io, we have friend of the show, Chelsea Green, Lyra, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Zoe Stark will be competing for the women's briefcase.
Oh, yes. The women's side. So Zoe Stark wins on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just think that the favorite for me would be Tiffany Stratton.
I agree. And I think she can do more, and that could do more for her character, her having that briefcase.
I like Tiffany Stratton being at the top of that. I'm looking for a second choice. Hey, you know, listen, our choice would be Chelsea Green.
Yes.
I mean, we like to have her in the number two slot because she's just – her character is great. We know she can go in the ring, but the character development is strong. I'd like to know what damage control is. You know, it's getting kind of lost now that they've they have Io Sky. I don't know who the leader of this is anymore. Is it Dakota Kai? I'm not sure.
I agree. And I think the thing with Chelsea, though, you talk about characters like her having that briefcase and maybe going out to cash in and the ref screws her over. The ref doesn't count or ring the bell. Like, that could really enhance her character, and she deserves a run. Like, I think giving her one of the belts and letting her show up on either show and complaining to Pierce and complaining to, you know, all the management and things like that, I think that could be fun with her holding the briefcase.
I'm not going to bash Lyra. I just don't know what she's supposed to be.
Sure.
That's just on us because we don't watch enough NXT. But just on the, you know, what we've seen for her on the main roster, still young, still trying to get through. She's the one that lost to Nia Jackson, the Queen of the Ring, correct?
Yes.
In the finals? Yes. Yeah, so it's just going to take time. So she would be last on my list. I think Naomi is always a solid veteran. I'd just like to know what Zoe Stark's ceiling is in WWE. Like, her dropkick, by the way, at the top rope is pretty strong. I like that. I'd like to know what's next for her, though. I don't think it's this, but what is her ceiling?
Yeah, it's weird. It sort of feels like she might have peaked already. Like, we were very complimentary of the work she did with Becky and Trish and the way that elevated her, but there's been no follow-up to that. Like, it's all been sort of a downward trajectory after that. Her and Shayna are an okay team, and, you know, maybe they get a run one day, but I agree. I feel like there's something missing there. Also, like, maybe just give her some mic time. Like, let's hear a story. Let's figure out who she is to develop that character, and we just haven't seen that since the Becky and Trish stuff.
So, Brian, I'm going with my win, play, show bet.
Okay.
Because I'm 95 years old and go to the horse track. I'll take Tippy Time to win, and I'll take Chelsea Green place and show Naomi.
I go Tiffy, Chelsea, and I could see Lyra. Like, the way they seem to be behind her, like, this could be an opportunity to really push her to the moon if somehow they give her the briefcase.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing about all of wrestling, especially WWE. We always say, what's new? What's new? Yeah. We get the same, but let's not see the same people. Well, they bring people up from NXT, and they have to find their footing. And when you get new, and Lyra's one of those new competitors. Nothing against her. I just want to see her grow.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Saturday will be good. It's a good chance to showcase some new stars and continue moving this company forward.
All right, now time for the three counts. Let's go to number one.
Friday night at the Garden, MSG SmackDown, the Bloodline taking out Paul Heyman, who would not acknowledge Solo as a tribal chief. Heyman put through a table. So obviously, all the rumors about Roman Reigns. When do we see Roman next?
Let's see. It's early July, so I have a feeling that before SummerSlam, we're going to see Roman Reigns. It might be in the month of July at some point.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Does he wrestle? I don't know, but we will see him. Just to see Paul Heyman go through that table at his age. And God bless Paul Heyman for him not sleeping the night before,
right,
not shaving, looking like a bum, right? And he's there, and he takes that bump, and he goes to the heavens and says, I know they're going to kill me, but I'm going to say this anyway. Sorry, Solo, you are not my tribal chief. Boom. You see what happens to Paul Heyman right there. And he takes that bump through the table or slides off the table like Humpty Dumpty. But that was an awful bump for someone his age. And so
they were very careful with him, though. It was very, here we go. We're going to go up. We're going to come down.
Yes. But that look, though, looking like a baby Huey up there taking that bump, boy, that was tough to watch. I didn't like to see that for Heyman. So I feel like you won't see Heyman until you see Roman. Heyman does not come back on TV for me until Roman comes back later on this month to confront Bloodline 2.0.
So the thing with Heyman, by the way, I believe he's the one that once said it about an Emmy and television excellence, and that's what this Bloodline thing has been. I would give Paul Heyman an Emmy at this point. Like you mentioned, the bloodshot eyes, the beard, the emotion, every part of what he's been doing has been so damn good. And as long as he's been doing it, it's still incredible to see him do what he does in the ring.
You know, it's funny, Brian, about that. I've heard Michael Cole say this as well. You know, professional wrestling for what it is, which is it's been a male soap opera, now it's a soap opera for everybody.
Yeah.
Deserves to be on that same platform as the Emmys. I mean, because they are acting, they are giving you something that looks like sport. And of course, the stories around it are as good as anything else you get on basic cable.
Right. There's no difference.
So why can't they be able to be in line for an award? Because it's wrestling.
Right.
It's still acting.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Everything he's been doing great. The reaction they got when they took him out was amazing. So to answer the question in terms of when we see Roman, it feels like we're on a path of Solo versus Cody at SummerSlam. We have a six-man on Saturday, Bloodline versus Cody, KO, and Orton. We don't know who the three of the Bloodline are. I feel like I've read stuff that Fatu might not be able to get into Canada, so maybe he's not a part of that. But I don't know who the three are for the Bloodline. But if we get Solo and Cody, I feel like that's where you get Roman back and, you know, ultimately cost Solo in the main event. And, you know, sort of align with Cody, but not quite. And then you can spin off from there.
I think there's someone on the show that mentioned that as a possibility last week, and you poo-pooed it. You pushed it to the side. You do recall this, right? That was you.
I know. And we talk a lot. We say a lot of things. I don't know.
Wait a minute. You can't do that. I'm out on Cody aligning himself with Roman, blah, blah, blah.
Well, but in this scenario, they're not quite aligned. They're just sort of there together in the same stratosphere.
You're the worst. Yeah, I said that on the show, and you and Gabe just yelled at me. There's no way. I mean, they're all baby faces. Baby faces align with baby faces.
Right.
The WWE is the hallmark for strange bedfellows.
Yeah, well, they coexist. But they've done a good job recently of acknowledging that things happen. Like, we see it with Bianca and Bayley, where Bianca's like, no, she sucks. Like, the things she's done, I don't care that she's a face now. Like, I'm not going to help her. And then you have Naomi saying, like, no, it's my friend. Because they're going to need to explain Jimmy and Jay getting back with Roman. Like, you know, them saying, like, yeah, we've been through some stuff, but, like, why are we coming back to you? Because that's eventually going to happen also.
Yeah, so this is why we're in the top of the fifth inning with this.
Yeah.
That's why there's still so much more. And by the way, I don't know if Jacob Fatu has been cleared to be able to travel. He's been with the company. He just has – when you have all these PLEs out of the country, how do you introduce him? And so I love that on Friday, you know, Jacob Fatu got a chance to take the mic. I was a little concerned because the WWE was doing their hella best to try to edit as much of that show as possible, hitting the dump button. A little kid puts up the middle finger, you dump that. You know, you can't say stuff, and then just dumping the audio and the video. It was hard to watch.
Yes.
Live, that is for sure. Or on DVR, as I did.
Right.
Very difficult, because I'm thinking, did we have a power outage at the house? What happened here? I'm going through it, like, editing. But I think Jacob Fatu, I don't expect to see him in Toronto. I don't.
Okay, and that makes sense. You could do Solo and G.O.D. versus those three. The other thing with this is, as this storyline ramps back up and as we get more invested in it, this Cody title run continues to play second fiddle to it all. Like, not defending the title Saturday. Once Roman comes back, that's all we're going to care about. And it's hurting the title run once again, where it's just like, all right, well, cool, you got the belt, you finished the story, but we're going to look over here and we're going to watch this. This is going to get the main event spots.
Yeah, the heavyweight championship does not mean as much as it used to. And it doesn't mean that Cody's cold. It's just the story that they're telling. It's heavy story versus heavy wrestling. And it just shows you the difference between WWE and AEW in that regard, right? It's like they gave you your Logan Paul, gave you a couple AJ style matches, which were bangers. You know, again, it's Cody Rhodes.
Right.
It's going to be good matches. But ultimately, they're telling you that the stories that they're telling are stronger than championships. Like, I don't know what the hottest championship is right now in WWE. I can't really tell you what it is.
Yeah, because all the top stories don't really have the title involved, where it's Bloodline stuff, it's Gable and the Wyatt Six, the Liv Morgan stuff. I mean, I guess technically there's a title because she's the champ, but yeah, that's not a part of the story at all. Like, the her and Dom stuff has been outstanding.
It's interesting because many organizations over the years have built their company on the world title and the chase for the world title. That's not how Triple H books. And by the way, hats off to him. Like, it's not all working. I mean, listen, I mean, he continues to keep AOP and Paul Ellering and Cross alive.
Yeah. He knows he has other TV shows, right, that no one watches. They could work there.
He puts them there early on Monday Night Raw because he's just telling stories. And by the way, you have to. You want to be able to tell enough stories to to be able to come to a head when it comes to these PLEs, right? And so I just think it's all fascinating. But I would say that Roman shows up this month,
okay,
later on this month, to be able to confront Solo. That whole thing, man, it's so impressive. I don't know if you've seen the discourse online like I have about people wondering whether or not Solo Sikoa is the right person to be able to be the leader of Bloodline 2.0. And I would say his personality is different from Jacob Fatu, and that's okay. If he's a strong, silent type and he kind of whispers into a mic where you got to lean in a little bit more to hear Solo, that's fine. The key to them, Brian, is that they need to win matches. Like,
yes.
I know they're about the violence because they're not the song and dance guys like Jay and Jimmy Uso. You know, they're not trying to entertain the crowd. Those guys are bloodthirsty, and they do that. But they need to win matches and put themselves in title contention so you could take them completely seriously, more so than disqualification matches, you know, beating up on the wise man. It's got to be more than that for me as a fan.
Yeah, no, I agree. And when it comes to Solo, like, I had that disconnect also. Friday and that performance, like, for whatever reason, and it could have been obviously aided by Heyman, that took him to the next level for me. Like, that sort of said, like, all right, I can see that. I agree with you about them winning matches. They should win Saturday. Like, whether it's Cody, whether it's KO, whether it's Orton, them pinning any of those three guys, like, that means a lot. Those are guys that are former world champions, that are main event guys, that also have no problem taking pinfalls. I think they have to win on Saturday to continue to show how dominant they actually are.
Yeah, Toronto, even though this is going to be, you know, is a great wrestling city, there is no, oh, they beat the hometown guy.
Right.
It's not that at all because Kevin's from Montreal, so he doesn't care about Toronto.
Doesn't count the same.
Yeah. So if the fans feel, oh, you know, our favorites, Cody and Randy and Kevin lost, that's okay. I mean, because the Bloodline needs victories. They need to come back on Friday night SmackDown after this show for Monday night for the Money in the Bank. They have to say, look what we did. We took out three of your favorites again. We won. We are the Bloodline 2.0. Roman's not around. You know, we don't have Paul Heyman around. We're the strongest faction in the company. All that kind of thing. They have to say that because a win by Cody, Randy, and Kevin doesn't do much for me in this spot.
And this is the way you get to the title match. Like, if Solo's the one that pins Cody on Saturday, they say, look, I pinned your champion. Like, now put the title on the line, and then you let the two of them go at SummerSlam.
All right, as we move forward here on Good Karma Wrestling, we move on to number two, Brian.
All right, in the world of AEW, we are on the road to Wembley and All In August 25th. Forbidden Door in the books. Swerve Strickland, still your AEW champion. He beats Ospreay in the main event. What will main event All In?
Okay, that's a great question. I will tell you what will not main event as we talk about what will win. Like, I don't see Will Ospreay at the top of the card for this.
Really?
Well, he lost
on
Sunday. And I just have a feeling that the way AEW does things, it's about the AEW Heavyweight Championship. And so Swerve Strickland will take on someone. To me, I think that Will Ospreay against Swerve Strickland should have been the main event in Wembley, but it's not because he lost to Swerve. Even though this could be a trilogy, he's just not getting his rematch right away. So
they could be the main event in the next seven pay-per-views. Let's do best of seven at this point. I'm fine with that.
Brother, are you kidding me? Seriously.
Let's go.
One of the best matches I've seen all year, those two. Oh, my God. So it won't be Will Ospreay, but it'll be Swerve against someone.
Okay, so the Owen tournament, which will get a title shot. We have Brian versus Pac tomorrow on Dynamite from Chicago. Jay White takes on the wild card or Jeff Jarrett. That match, the wild card match, will also be tomorrow on Dynamite. Does Swerve versus Bryan do it for you? Can they main event Wembley?
Yes, but that's a loss for Danielson.
I don't know. So I saw a tweet this week saying they need to Montreal screw job that, but in order to make Bryan actually win the title.
Bryan can barely stand. Like, he's just taking a beating. Did you not see him at Forbidden Door?
He's selling. The man knows what he's doing. Oh. I think in that situation, you let him win. And I know he said that sort of the end, and he talks about how he likes lying to fans and, you know, putting those stories out. Even if he's just a two-month champion, I feel like Bryan's done so much for that company and done so much in the ring. Let him get one title run, because it would be unexpected to see him end All In as the world champion.
You know, that rang a bell when Nigel McGuinness said, all this time in AEW's never won a championship. I'm like,
yes,
man, I was thinking, no, that can't be true. Trios, and I'm like, he hasn't won a championship.
He doesn't like winning. How could he win a championship?
That's true. That's true.
So that could be a moment, like him beating Swerve, and then like he hands it off to someone else a few months later.
What's wrong with Swerve being champion?
I have no issue with Swerve. I love Swerve. And I think, you know, this past week sort of took him to the next level. Also, the feud with Ospreay was great work by the two of them on the mic and everything they've done. I don't know. I just feel like in that situation, it's got to be Bryan.
Danielson against Swerve at the top of the card for the AEW championship. What it won't be MJF, and it won't be Will Ospreay. That is for sure.
The other rumor out there is the wild card tomorrow night is Hangman. So do you do Swerve Hangman again at the top of the card?
No. Okay. That sounds like a fine Dynamite.
Okay.
that sounds like a really solid collision. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, because we've seen the match.
Yes, we've seen the plot.
I don't know if Hangman's a heel in this situation where it's turned, double turn, where Swerve's now the baby face.
I think so in this situation, because he'd be the wild card that was placed in the tournament by the Elite.
What if I told you that the wild card entrant is Christian?
Nah.
I'm just telling you that now the story is that this is someone that is sponsored by or supported by the Elite.
Yes.
And you know that there is a handshake agreement between Christian and his group and the Elite.
That doesn't do it for me, but along those lines, what if I told you Swerve versus Okada?
Oh, sure. I'm all in.
Yeah, are you good with that?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I'm all in for that, absolutely, because I know that's going to be a banger. I'm just throwing Christian out there. I don't know why you don't want that, because nobody wants to see Christian against Jeff Jarrett.
Fair.
That's right. I mean, nothing against the old carny Jeff Jarrett, but I'm just saying, like, you know, again, you have two veterans in there. Hangman seems like that would be the number one, but I'm just throwing Christian out there because of the relationship.
But we already saw, like, Swerve versus Christian, and, like, in that situation, I feel like you know Brian's going to win. Like, Brian versus a wild card that you don't know if he's going to beat. Like, if it's Brian versus Hangman or Brian versus Okada, you don't know who's winning that semifinal match.
So you don't have Pac in that spot, right? You believe that Pac can't beat Bryan Danielson?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, like, that's first of all, that's a dangerous match for Danielson.
Yes.
Because yes. Pac is just, I mean, when he's on and healthy, my God, man, he's a delight.
Yes.
But then why not Jay White? You don't want to see that?
I'd be okay with that. I just feel like they haven't built him up enough, and you've got a month and a half-ish. August 25th is All In. So I feel like you need to get Jay White back up there. They were doing such a good job early on protecting him and building him up to be a star. And while the Guns have been elevated by this, you know, Bullet Club gold, I feel like Jay White's taken a step back during that run.
You know, the problem, and I think we mentioned this on the show, is the brackets and who's in the brackets.
Yeah.
Like, Danielson seems like the favorite, yes. But then you have this wild card entrant that could be – that could be Hangman. That could be Donovan Dijak.
could be Ricochet.
Could be Ricochet. Anybody Anybody want to see a murder on TV? Here's Jeff Jarrett against Ricochet. Let's see. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that's very likely, you know. I don't know. The main event of All In, it's going to be Swerve at the top of the card. But I think that if it's Swerve and Danielson, is that Danielson's last like big match? Because am I not going to get Danielson McGuinness?
I know. I agree on that side. That feels like a big letdown if we don't get Nigel and Bryan. To counterpoint, if it's not Swerve, like MJF Ospreay doesn't do it for you as the main event?
Well, who's beating Swerve?
Well, Swerve's still on the card. It's not non-title. I think Ospreay maybe drops the international title tomorrow because of MJF, and then you do MJF Ospreay.
I mean, but the World Heavyweight Championship is always at the top of the card.
Okay.
Like, I mean, in AEW.
Right.
I mean, so, see, what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening is Bryan is minimizing the Swerve Strickland run.
He does not believe. I'm disappointed that the match we saw Saturday isn't the one closing All In, because that's what it should have been. It should have been Ospreay and Swerve, and it should have been Ospreay winning at Wembley. And now they're going to, you know, act as if they had a plan the whole time. But this feels like a letdown.
It's not the match that match would have been amazing in Wembley that we saw on Sunday. Yes, that would have been an amazing, but that's not the direction they wanted to go. Like, they're still trying to do this Ospreay battling with the Don Callis family. The screwdriver was in place. And I knew this was going to happen. It wasn't the ultimate reason why that Will Ospreay lost, but I knew that Don Callis would be a factor in the match.
And it's just, I don't know, it's just unnecessary. Like, Ospreay's showing what he can do on the mic. And, like, you know, you're going to have the Kyle Fletcher side of things now also, where he sort of seems torn and this and that. But, like, I don't know, it just feels so unnecessary when we see what Ospreay does once the bell rings.
I know. I mean, it's a must-see. It's hard to not put him at the top of match of the week every time you see him out there.
Yes. I mean, Meltzer has said it when it comes to wrestler of the year and match of the year. Like, he might have to make a whole new category just so every other person can possibly win things like that, because there's Ospreay and then there's everyone else.
So I think that that is very interesting. But what about the women's side of things?
I mean, Mercedes and Britt.
Well, that's what I want.
I know.
That's what I want. I want that as a matchup. But then there's Willow and Chris Statlander, which is in a rivalry. There's Sheeta and Mariah May. And I feel like Mariah May, based on her character, should be the women's winner in this bracket.
And that's why I think at Wembley we're going to get Tony versus Mariah.
That is more spectacle than match. It really is.
But I think those two have shown what they can do in the match sense of things also. Like, it will be a spectacle, and like, you'll have all that, but like, those two can go.
Yeah, I think, though, I would like to see Mariah May kind of show exactly what she could do. Like, the character's already there. I mean,
yeah.
She's in a three-way kiss during.
It made Nigel emotional.
Yes, crying and stuff. My God, he just took over the broadcast. He was great. He was great in that show. But I would agree that that Mariah May against Toni Storm. But then we have Mercedes and Dr. Britt Baker. That's going to happen at some point pretty soon, too. Maybe on the same card that we're talking about for All In.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we talked about the build of Forbidden Door. Maybe it took away from it. But you've planted enough seeds that now you have a month and a half to build up to what is essentially their WrestleMania. And the way it's shaping up right now, like, if we pencil in just those four matches, good to go. Like, that's going to be a hell of a card.
It's typical AEW. It's typical AEW. They're just going to stack the card, and they're going to be bangers.
Uh-huh.
Even on this show and on the outside of this show, they say, well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And then you hit play on the event. It's like, oh, my God. You have that's 80%, 90% of the show that's just outstanding. Because it's not about the men and women, because they work hard. It's always the stuff around it that we question.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, looking back on this past week's card, where the final hour or so was, you know, amazing, I thought it was an average show at best, like, in terms of Forbidden Door. Like, some of the matches seemed quick, some of them seemed unnecessary. And to me, the main event of Swerve and Ospreay was worth the $50 in itself. But now with all this time to build and with Forbidden Door behind you, you can tell those stories. Like, this card should be set in the next few weeks, as opposed to like the week before, like, oh, also this match and that match and this match. Like, put the card out there, tell the stories, and then ramp up to it.
Yeah, they still have a few more tickets to sell, but already before we even knew some of these matches, the people in the UK are just rabid. They love wrestling. They want to be part of a special event. Uh-huh. All In will be a special event. Like, all the questions, like, you and I are on the same page. That main event at that big event on Long Island, right? That should have been the main event of this show for All In, but they'll find a way, Brian, and it's still going to be great.
That is correct. Looking forward to it, though.
Well, speaking of AEW, boy, we've got some great guests that we're going to have on. Make sure you subscribe to YouTube, youtube.com. Go to Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube. We're on TikTok as well as on Instagram at Good Karma Wrestling. Our conversation with Kyle Fletcher and Sky Blue, Chicago's own Sky Blue, as AEW comes to the Wintrust Arena in Chicago on July 3rd. And, of course, AEW Dynamite, again, a great show on TBS every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Here's our conversation with Kyle Fletcher and Sky Blue. It's Good Karma Wrestling with Brian Rowitz, Jonathan Hood with you. Thanks so much for being with us here on GKW. Well, you know the home of AEW, Brian. You know the real home of AEW is
It's your Chicago. Backyard. It's Chicago.
Of course, it's Chicago. Absolutely. AEW returns to Chicago at the Wintrust Arena Wednesday, July 3rd. Tickets available now at the box office. Or go to AEW.com to find out more information on how you could be there. And we got to go to Chicago Zone, returning to the show.
That's
the
right.
Second time, Chicago's yeah. Own, the homegirl Sky Blue, as well as the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, part of the Don Callis family. It is Kyle Fletcher. They join us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Jonathan and Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
So how's life for you right now? We know how life is for Sky Blue. This is her second time on the show. So I got to ask, Kyle, how's life for you right now, brother, as a champion?
Yeah, it's great, man. On the road quite a lot, defending belts everywhere. And then we just bought a house, so trying to deal with that as well. We're unpacking boxes every day. We're home every time we get a couple extra minutes. So, yeah, pretty busy at the moment. It's good.
Wow. We'll start there then. We see so much couples that work in separate companies and same companies. What is life like on the road for the two of you guys?
Honestly, I think we're pretty blessed. Yeah. We're both have our dream jobs, 24 and 25. We get to travel together pretty much everywhere we go. Get up to some ruckus, not too much, but a little bit of exploring. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I'm very blessed to be able to do what I love with the woman that I love.
Yeah, you two have done a lot of press in Chicago, and rightfully so. But I'll ask you, Sky, how often is Kyle Fletcher putting you into an airplane spin? We saw this, right? You're at iHeart, and he put you in an airplane spin. How often does this happen?
Too often. I get dizzy instantaneously. It is torture.
That's why I do it.
Okay, good.
Okay, good to know.
Sky, when we had you on, you talked about getting into this business and some of the people you looked up to. Within these past few months, you shared a ring and wrestled Mercedes Moné. Have you had a chance to step back and realize what you've accomplished so far in this, 20-something years of wrestling?
It definitely sunk in afterwards, like, because I didn't know until I got to the building that day that I was wrestling Mercedes. And when I was told, I was kind of like, no, I'm not. And they're like, yeah, you're wrestling. I was like, no, there's no way. And they're like, Sky, you were wrestling Mercedes today. And it was just like, I don't know, the light bulb kind of went off, like, that I did it. Like, that, high school me sitting in math class watching her matches and Toni Storm's matches and Ruby Soho's matches. It's like, now I'm wrestling all of them. And I'm one of them. So it's just
cool.
How much advice do you give to each other about your matches, Kyle?
I pick his brain 24/7 about my matches.
Yeah. It's more so like the random just questions out of nowhere. Like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And then like on the day of a show being like, what do you think about this move? What do you think about this? So it's all, I don't know. I love it. I love helping out.
Kyle, we've seen what you can do as a tag team wrestler. You've had a run as a singles wrestler now. You've got the gold in front of you. How has that adjustment been for you in the ring?
So it's been... it's been a fun process. Definitely when you're in a tag team, you got to commit, right? You got to commit that this is your thing. You're just a tag team wrestler. So I put everything into it. Mark Davis was the same, love teaming with him, but it's a different challenge for sure. And a lot of it is on the mental side of things. It's almost like everything that you're putting out there now is your idea. It is just from your brain. There's no like bouncing it back and forth between like your Mark Davis. There's no person to be like, do you think this is a terrible idea or a good idea? It's just you're doing all that within your own brain. So it's like, oh God, this sucks. It's all on me now. So a lot of that, a lot of mental side of things, but I feel like I'm hitting my stride and I'm quite enjoying what I'm doing at the moment.
AEW at Wintrust Arena Wednesday, July 3rd. Tickets available right now at the box office and, of course, AllElitewrestling.com. So tell us something about Don Callis that we don't know. You're part of the family. Tell us something we don't know about Don.
So the funniest thing to me about Don is he just comes out with, like, this man has lived life. And I don't know how much I'm allowed to, like, say about any of it, because some of the things that he comes out with just blow my mind. But he'll just be like, oh yeah, I did this trip to South Africa and I was doing like some kind of trade deal for the government. And I just went like, what are you on about, Don? And then he just says, like, I work for this. And I was like, who are you? What have you been doing? I don't know. You are such a man of mystery. It blows my mind. Yeah. So he has plenty of stories, plenty of life lived. I will just say that much.
How much is it a rib and how much of it is on the square? Do you know if it's bullshit or not?
Hey, I have to believe everything he says. I don't think I have a choice.
Kyle's unveiling government secrets here on GKW. Who knew that, yeah, that would come from this interview? Sky, for you, when you look back on what you guys have been able to accomplish, you know, from the women's division, seeing the growth of that division, what's been your favorite highlight of the last, say, 6 months at this point?
The hardcore matches.
Yeah.
1,000%. I have wanted them for so long. And when I finally was told, like, hey, you get your hardcore match, I felt like I set a bar for myself and I was like, well, now I need to exceed this and blow everybody out of the water. And then they're like, oh, well, now you get a second hardcore match. And I was like, oh man, now I got to top the first one. But yeah, I think it's just like showing that us women want to do like all, like everything that there is wrestling. You know, we don't want to just be the women's division. We want to be wrestlers. We want to do everything. We want to show that we're just as good as the men.
Sky, what have you shown Kyle about Chicago? Something that he did not know that you showed him.
Portillo's.
Yeah, Portillo's. One. We don't let him drive in the city very often.
Oh, yeah. I road rage galore.
No,
the worst.
It's not pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the side of the road?
No, I think it's American drivers. Not to categorize.
Yeah.
They're a bit crazier. The cars are a lot bigger. There's a lot of cutting people off. A lot of
do that now.
I said it. So I went back to Australia. I had to redo my visa in February, and I went back and I was like, oh God, I drive like an American now. Yeah. I don't know. I'm being converted. It's one's fault.
Have you guys been able to work together and find any similarities between Australia and Chicago?
I think we're going to go home and brainstorm that one.
Okay, tonight. All right.
I'm going to say, because it's not the weather.
No.
I mean, the summer weather is pretty, like, I'd say it's pretty on par with Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is kind of what it's like year-round, though.
All right, don't rub it in.
I think it's great that you guys are learning about each other. Like, yeah, every day there's something. I think that's fascinating.
Me too.
Obviously, you guys are near the top of the list, but who else do you put near the top of the list of wrestling couples?
Ooh. Well, our kind of couple friends right now are Will Ospreay and Alex Windsor.
Okay.
Now that Will is bringing her over a little bit more, we get to hang out with them quite a lot, which is awesome. Other wrestling couples.
Ruby Soho and Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Angelo.
There you go.
Angelo. My bad. Sorry. Don't listen.
Okay. Cool hand.
And all their animals. I love all their animals.
Oh, my God.
I made Kyle pet their naked cat.
Okay.
An experience.
I want one so badly.
Wait a minute. You pet the naked cat. What happened? What was that like?
I hated it. I hated every second.
No, he said it wasn't as bad as he thought it was.
It wasn't as bad as okay, so I went into it like expecting to be like, what is this alien thing? And I was like, okay, it's not the worst. But then she's like, oh, you have to get one now. And I'm like, please.
It's all about compromise. It's a losing battle, Kyle. Good luck, though.
So my compromise was, can we get a regular cat and shave it?
No. He wants to shave my poor cat that already hates him.
Okay, well, that would make sense then.
I really love animals, I promise, guys.
Kyle, you're a heel. We don't believe you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Baby face in this interview, but we know you're part of the hated Don Callis family. You get booed everywhere you go. We don't believe you when it comes to the cat. Sorry. We don't believe
you. You're a heel too. Shush.
Yeah, but I like naked cats. You don't.
Kyle, you mentioned Will Ospreay. You have shared time with him. Yeah. We always talk about matches of the week, and I feel like there's a Will Ospreay match of the week, and then, you know, everyone else, no disrespect. How does Will Ospreay do what Will Ospreay does?
So,
I wish I knew.
I say it all the time. He's one of those people that can just do things, and I don't think he even knows how it happens. Like, he will just be standing there, and he'll just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, 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 and then I'll do this, 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 and then I'll do this, this, this. And then, like, it's just perfect. And if I got him to break down his thought process, I don't think he would physically be able to do it because it just comes to him naturally. Like, it's second nature to him. And I am in awe watching everything he does. It's ridiculous.
AEW returns to Chicago Wintrust Arena Wednesday, July 3rd, as we talk to Sky Blue and Kyle Fletcher here on Good Karma Wrestling. Kyle, how often do you have to pitch yourself to Tony Khan? You're on ROH. I'm an Honor Club guy. Sure. So then when I see you on Dynamite or Rampage or Collision, it's like, oh, there he is. There's my guy.
Yeah,
so sure. How often do you have to pitch yourself as ROH champion, TV champion, to say, hey, I could do multiple things?
Yeah, no, of course. I think a lot of professional wrestling is knowing when to stand up for yourself. So I think my biggest thing that I've kind of lived by is just always being ready for the opportunity when it comes. You might never know when that next big opportunity comes, but if you stay ready for it and you know you can deliver on any given night, that is the best way to be. So I wouldn't say I'm knocking on Tony's door every Wednesday, every Saturday, but I always try and at least talk to him when I see him, have a little chat, a little bit of back and forth. And it's just, I always let him know that I'm ready. I'm happy to do whatever. And I'm ready to deliver. I want to go down to one of the greatest of all time. So I'm always going to be there ready, and I'm going to deliver for him.
Sky, we've talked about it before, but what is that feeling like of wrestling in Chicago? Like, where you used to go to shows and now people are coming to see you wrestle.
It's pretty surreal, honestly, especially like now that's like we've come back and like we're going to, when we go to the Now Arena later in the year, like that's like where I got signed. And it's just like all the memories and just kind of like, feel like you're on cloud nine almost, like, and I get to bring my parents, so it's a cool little thing that I get to share with them because they've been wrestling fans their whole lives. So now it's like they get to go watch their kid front row instead of like people that they watched their whole lives. So
I mean, you take it very casually when we talk to you about this, but you represent the city. No shot at Sean Dean, but you're like the face of Chicago. No, I mean, I don't want any heat with Sean Dean. I'm just saying you represent Chicago. What is that? You represent a whole city.
It's wild to think about because, like, I never, you know, 17-year-old me sitting in high school watching wrestling, wanting to do this, never thought that I would be representing a company, representing a city, doing what I love with who I love, and, like, putting smiles on people's faces. Putting smiles on people's faces, doing, like, what I fell in love with and what makes me the happiest doing. So I think just like the fact that I get to say like I am Chicago and I am AEW is just like the hugest honor I could ever ask for. And like my face is on the truck. Like, I still can't wrap my head around that.
Every time she sees it,
I almost cry every time. The first time I saw it, I bawled my eyes out like a little baby. And then I called my mother and she did the same thing. So
we're so provincial here, Kyle, that anything Chicago, whether it's our teams, that we feel like Sky Blue is like part of our sports teams, our sports fandom. So that's why it's so big when she comes back home.
I love it. I'm standing there and I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm standing by, like, peeking my head through the curtain and I'm gone. Oh, yeah. That's Sky Blue, baby. Let's go.
Kyle, for you, what's the adjustment been like to making the American shift and buying a house in America and doing all that? What's that been like for you?
Honestly, it hasn't really been too hard for me. I think because this has been my dream my entire life, I think I've always kind of had in my brain that this is probably where I would end up, because this is the epicenter of professional wrestling. I've always wanted to be a professional wrestler. It was kind of like, I remember being a kid and listening to adults be like, oh yeah, I lived in New York for 2 years. And I was just like, whoa, that's the coolest thing. I'd be asking all these questions. Like, what was it like? How'd you get there? Like, what were you doing? So yeah, it kind of just feels like this was, as much as I love Australia, it feels like this was kind of always where I was meant to be, which is, it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, we've made the pitch on Good Karma Wrestling because AEW is young, it's 5 years old, but we see the trend now of being able to have so many events internationally. We'd like to, what about like Ring of Honor or AEW both going to Australia at some point? That'd be kind of cool.
It was as soon as Wembley happened and I saw how big of a success it was, I was like, we can do this. We can do this 100%. Like, I have no doubt in my mind whenever it happens, because in my head, I'm already like manifesting it into existence. When it happens, it is going to go off and it's going to be incredible. We're going to put on a sick show. And yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to push for it as hard as I possibly can.
Lastly, just want to ask you about the state of the business for both of you guys. Well, looking at the state of the business of 2024, your friends in and out of the company, what stands out most about pro wrestling 2024? Sky, we'll start with you.
What stands out the most, I think, would be like that we're moving towards women and men doing the same. Like, you know, not just men getting the cool matches, not just men main eventing, not just men doing, you know, media, PR, whatnot. I think just the fact that the women can show that, like, we can hang too, and that we're getting these opportunities and we're taking advantage of them, and we are showing that, like, hey, we can really do this, and that we're all, like, here to make a difference in pro wrestling and here to go down as like the rebels that could. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, it is what I'm constantly in awe of is how much incredible professional wrestling there is on a weekly basis, monthly basis. There is just the cycle of good professional wrestling nowadays is just like anytime an incredible match happens, 2 days later, there's something else someone's talking about. And in some ways, it's like hard because you want to stay relevant. But I think it's just such a good time, an incredible time to be a fan of pro wrestling. And I think that translates to the people that work in wrestling as well. There's so many opportunities. There's so many places to work. It's just it's great for the entire industry. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it right now.
AEW, Wintrust Arena, Wednesday, July 3rd. Tickets are available right now. Of course, you can catch AEW Dynamite every Wednesday. Welcome home, Sky. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, guys. Appreciate it.
Great conversation. Chicago's own Sky Blue getting the job done with Kyle Fletcher. That seems like a happy couple.
Yes. I just love their reaction to Will Ospreay because it makes me feel vindicated in having that same reaction to Will Ospreay, where you see him do things in the ring like, how? But now guys and girls that also are doing what he does, like, yeah, this guy's different.
And also stay away from naked cats.
Yes. Wise life lesson there.
I feel like Kyle Fletcher, I feel like he's being trapped. He loves Sky Blue. You can tell that they're a fun couple, but the point is though, is like his whole world has turned around. They just bought a new house together, these two. It's like, oh my God, like his whole world's upside down with Sky Blue.
Yeah, no, but those two are awesome. They were making the rounds, and you talk about building young talent. That's what they're doing with those two right there. Kyle Fletcher, the single star. Like, he is building up into something special there.
How about another great young star that's in All Elite Wrestling? That is Willow Nightingale. It must be my birthday because I love Willow Nightingale. That smile, man, I mean, that positive attitude, just white meat baby face, and just a bright star in All Elite Wrestling. Here's our conversation now with Willow Nightingale right here on Good Karma Wrestling. Thanks for being with us here on Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And Brian, you know my birthday is September 7th. Is my birthday today?
It's an early one today. A big guest to bring smiles to everyone's faces.
It must be my birthday because we have Willow Nightingale on the show for the first time on Good Karma Wrestling as AEW comes to the Wintrust Arena in Chicago, July 3rd. Get your tickets at allelitewrestling.com or at the box office at Wintrust Arena. Willow joins us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Willow, Jonathan and Brian, thanks so much for your time.
I am very excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. How are we all doing? It seems like we're in good spirits.
Of course.
Well, yes, it's Good Karma Wrestling. Of course we're in good spirits. Of course it is. So how's life for you right now? How's life, Willow?
Pretty good. I mean, we just had Forbidden Door in my hometown of Long Island, and I got to team with Tam Nakano, which was great because about like a month ago, I was her opponent. I wrestled her, really hard-hitting. I was fortunate to win that match, you know, pulled through all my heart, all my power. And I knew when Forbidden Door was coming around and I was challenged to find a partner from Stardom who I trusted and I would think would have my back. I was like, Tam's exactly the person. We're both cute. We're both really strong. We're both amazing wrestlers. Not to like put myself over too much. But so it was like perfect fit. And I was right. We picked up the win. She did have my back. I feel like we walked away being like, we're friends. We have like a relationship moving forward. I'll check in on her. And I had like 18 people at UBS supporting me because it was my hometown. So I'm like feeling super great walking into Dynamite this week as I face Chris Statlander. Yeah, that's it. I'm feeling good about it.
When you have moments like that in your hometown, wrestling in Japan, everything you've accomplished in less than a decade of pro wrestling, how often do you step back and realize what you've been able to do in such a short amount of time?
It's weird because it doesn't feel like a short amount of time. Like, I've been wrestling for the majority of my adult life. I started when I was 20 years old. And it really wasn't until I was about, like, 27, 28, that it felt like things were happening. But you know the saying, it's like an overnight success doesn't happen overnight. But the past 2 years, 2.5 years or so have been like very overwhelming because, yeah, things have been happening like I'm here, I'm there. And like really last year, I think when I first wrestled Mercedes in at New Japan for Resurgence, that was like a big turning point for my career because making it to AEW was a huge step. But that really like switched gears for me. I think people started looking at me as like a main player in women's wrestling. And I'm grateful for that. But that is not without a bunch of like hard work, sure, long drives, a lot of time, a lot of pain that made it possible. So I'm grateful for everyone for opening their eyes and paying attention, but also like I know I put a lot of work into it, so when I sit down and think about it, it's just like it's just very like gratifying, you know?
Yeah.
Willow, we've seen some of your family members on television, and I'm very curious of where you get your personality from, because it's palpable through the television when you smile and even in your promos, your personality and your kindness comes through more so than just the wrestling baby face. Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll put my folks over time and time again because I really lucked out with like the family lottery. Like my dad is so like chill and laid back, but always like a very positive guy. He's like in his late 50s. He'll like walk around on his hands doing cartwheels, doing handstands for people, entertaining all his friends. He used to do a bunch of bike tours when we were kids. He did capoeira. And then, so there's like some natural athletic ability from him. My mother, also a very positive, like loving, look on the bright side kind of person. But she will tell you herself, like, if you cross her, she will be a bitch, which I don't know if I can say that word.
You can say that. Yes. You're good.
Yes. She's like, I'm a bitch when I'm ready to be. And so I think that bit from her really, like, comes through into wrestling in terms of, like, my combativeness, my aggression. But also she has this, like, magnetism to her that just, like, if you take her out to a club or, like, a bar, like, people will just start talking to her. And she'll be like, oh, have you met my friend? We met an hour ago, but now we're good pals. So really all of that together. And she was also, like, a sprinter. She's from Guyana. She was, like, a very highly rewarded sprinter when she did that back in the day. But both of them, lovely, positive people, naturally athletic. But you don't want to mess with them. So all of those handed down to me made some weird mumbo gumbo stew that is Willow Nightingale. You know, it's as much nurture as it is nature.
Speaking of family, you tweeted how excited your mom was to see the main event of Forbidden Door. Was she more excited to see Swerve versus Ospreay or to see your match on Sunday?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think obviously there's investment.
Sure.
Beyond who wins and loses in my wrestling match, because if I, God forbid, knock on wood, if I get hurt or something makes me unhappy, like, she has to deal with that personally. But she was never really a wrestling fan growing up. But through seeing, like, Swerve, Orange Cassidy, Will, like, she got to meet him in and see him wrestle for the first time at Dynasty in St. Louis. And ever since then, like, those are her boys. She's like, are they on the show? Are they wrestling? Like, what's going on? So we were on the phone. She was like, are any of my boys in the show? I was like, well, you know, Orange Cassidy has a match. Leah Rush is actually somebody, too, that I've known since, like, we both first started in Marvelous. And the first time she saw him wrestle, she was hooked. But then she was like, what about Will? I was like, Will's wrestling Swerve. She goes, and, like, shrieked on the phone. She goes, I get to see both of them wrestling each other. And she was freaking out. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how everyone feels.
Yeah. We're in that boat also. Don't worry. She's not alone there.
Yeah.
Yes. We are all screaming when we see AEW wrestling. So it is AEW Dynamite taking place July 3rd at the Wintrust Arena. AllEliteWrestling.com is where you go, or Wintrust Arena. And, of course, Dynamite on TBS every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Time. You mentioned talking about facing Mercedes Moné. What was the game plan going into taking on Mercedes? Because you two have two different styles.
This is true. So the first time I had wrestled her, I had a bunch of tape on her. I had been a fan for such a long time. I already kind of knew what to expect coming from her. And once she started that New Japan run, I think you got to even see another side and, like, another layer of what she's capable of. And so I was able to use that to my advantage the first time I wrestled her. And, like, of course, she did get hurt. And, you know, I'm a competitor at the end of the day. I'm going to use that to my advantage as well. But going into this match, I don't know. She hadn't wrestled for a year. I wasn't sure what her training had really been like going into everything, if she had, like, switched it up. But I did have the confidence in knowing, like, I had beaten her before, so I know it's possible and I can do it again. Ultimately, you know, she's one of the best for a reason. Didn't work out in my favor. I wish her the best, but right now I'm in the Owen Hart Cup. You know, I'm in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. I'm looking to win that so that I can face Toni Storm for the Women's World Championship. You know, one thing doesn't work out, you got to pivot and then find what the next direction is. And for me, that's where I'm at right now.
You mentioned being a fan. Who were some of the wrestlers when you were coming up that you look at and say, okay, one day that's who I want to be like in the ring?
Oh, I don't really know that when I was growing up, I saw anybody like that.
Okay.
Like, I was a big fan of Trish and Lita. I loved Victoria. A few years later, I became, like, a huge fan of, like, Beth Phoenix, which is, again, also a huge, like, Adam Copeland fan.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing, like, oh, this I is very cool. So, like, those were who I saw on TV growing up. But it really wasn't until I was in, like, late high school, college time, where I used to be on Tumblr.com. I used to blog on there.
Yeah.
And that's when I, like, started getting into, like, 90s women's Japanese wrestling. And I saw, like, Manami Toyota, And, like, specifically for me, I've always been a bigger girl. So, like, seeing Aja Kong and Bull Nakano wrestle, I was like, I can do this. This is so cool. So they were huge inspirations for me. Sarah Del Rey, the first time I saw her wrestle, I was like, great. Like, you know, her thing is, like, wrestling first.
Right.
And that, like, those two, like, worlds of, like, understanding the 2000s independent wrestling scene and what women were bringing there, and, like, Joshi wrestling being introduced to that, like, really in my head was like, okay, maybe there is a place for me. Because I never saw myself on TV, and when I was a kid, that's all I knew of wrestling. I didn't see myself there, but I found a place for me to succeed and just kept pulling that thread for 6-7 years until it manifested in me being here with you now.
Look at that.
There's so much going on and so much discourse about AEW and the behind the scenes and on the, in front of the camera. What does the wrestling media and fans have wrong about AEW, Willow?
I mean, there's, not to be like, you're all wrong. You're all just yapping on Twitter and stuff. But, like, I really do think there is a lot of people who will pull the most negative out of a situation or constantly just try to sensationalize things, because that's what gets attention. And of course, that's what's going to get, like, views and likes and clicks or whatever. So people are going to run with that and make it sound as crazy as possible. But I think morale is pretty good. I feel like there are some really awesome people in the locker room. With the past, like, in the past year, we've gotten Will, we've got Okada, we've got Mercedes, these really big signings. And already, even before they came in, a super, super solid roster of just, like, the best wrestlers. You know, they say, AEW, we're the best wrestle. Like, that is so true. And I think if that should be the focal point. I don't think people should really be putting stock into whatever is going on backstage. I think we're getting along fine, but, like, it's a wrestling show for people to watch. Like, what we put on the screen is ultimately the most important. So tune in Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays to see that.
What we see on the screen is that positivity. It's that smile. You have it in your bio. Nothing matters. Smile anyway. How do you live that life? How are you able to keep that smile on your face all the time?
Oh, God. It is sometimes very hard. But okay. I think if I didn't, I would let all of the negativity consume me. And it's really easy to let that happen. But like I said, I have a great family who nurtured me to be a loving person. And we all support on each other. We, like, all lean on each other and support one another. So I know I'm lucky that, like, if I'm going through a tough time, I have friends I can talk to, my parents I'm very close to, my siblings. So those are people who continue to lift me up. But even sometimes, like, you're alone in a hotel room, you don't want to bug people. I have to look around and realize I'm a very privileged person. Wrestling is, yeah, it's hard work and it's the grind and it's what you put into it. But some of it, like, at the end of the day, is luck. And I would never discredit myself or cut myself short on what I've done to get here, but, like, I'm lucky, I'm blessed to be here. And at the end of the day, when I'm upset and things might not be going my way, or I feel like, I don't know, I'm lucky to be where I am. And even before I got here, you know, I had a car I could drive in. I had somebody who checked in on me that day and was like, hey, are you okay? Even when I wasn't here. So there's always something to be grateful for. And that goes for all of you.
Willow Nightingale with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. July 3rd, it'll be AEW Dynamite emanating from the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. Brian, I would say the home of AEW Chicago, but that's just me as a Chicagoan. AllEliteWrestling.com, and of course at the Wintrust Arena box office. Listen, we know the story. It's not right what Stokely and Chris Statlander did, because you all were homies and it was great to watch, and now you guys are not together anymore. I do have to ask about Stokely Hathaway. What is he like?
I mean, you guys see it. You see it on the screen. You know exactly what he's like. He is somebody who does not hold himself accountable to his own actions. He says ridiculous things about people and is a coward who will hide behind his keyboard when it comes time to a fight. I mean, I could say a lot of things about Statlander and her character, but she is extremely strong. She's a great fighter. All of that is still true, whether she's my friend or not. And so to have somebody like that to hide behind, he's a lucky man. But but you can only hide for so long behind her. I'm mad at Stat, but I'm very mad at Stokely as well.
When it comes to your career, you've accomplished so much in the ring, but what does it mean to you when you talk about how you remember being young, seeing someone in the ring like, hey, that could be me, knowing that you have that influence now, like seeing the way people react to you? What does that mean to you?
You know, like, people really first started coming to me with this question, I guess about the time I got signed at AW, about 2 years ago. And I had this big realization that when I started wrestling, I didn't set out to be a role model for anyone. I didn't set out to be like representation for, you know, people who are unconventional in like the way they look or behave or anything like that. But people really have resonated with me for many reasons, but that being one. And that is one of the things that keeps driving me forward when I feel like things are too hard or too tough or there's too much stress, is like, there are a lot of people who are counting on me, not because, not just because like they like me and they want to see me personally succeed, but like, when have we really seen somebody who defies the norms of like the angry black woman? I'm somebody who's out here showing you black joy. When have we seen plus size, bigger women really being shown not just as like a monster, but as somebody who is athletic, can be powerful, and like sometimes, I mean, I'm not the speediest, but you know, I got a little agility to me. And so I feel like there is something about breaking down stereotypes and showing people like there's so much that an individual can be, more than what you see at face value. And I just feel like I have to keep upholding that, keep breaking down those stereotypes. It's not an easy job to do. Somebody's got to do it. If you've got a bad thing to say about it, you know, water off a duck's back. I see what you all say on Twitter, but for the most part, people are very positive and supportive of me. And that is what matters.
Yeah. And it's a prideful joy you have in that, it sounds like, right?
Yes.
I mean, all the things that you mentioned, it sounds like you have a joy in that. You don't feel pressure in that regard.
I mean, a little bit, because, you know, if me outside of like being a wrestling character, me myself, if I have a bad day, I'm not the kind of person who's gonna be like, you suck, and like take it out on other people. But if that did ever happen, I feel like there's a lot of little girls who could be let down, so I'm aware of that. But luckily I just feel like Willow, and the person who has to step into being Willow on Wednesdays, aren't too far off. So that's why the pressure is manageable.
Let's talk about hashtag goals.
Sure.
So what else would you like to accomplish?
Well,
because
like
you've already done so much. So,
like I mentioned, I'm in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. I did win that last year, but last year the stakes were not as high. I think like I won the tournament, and for me it was kind of more of like a statement. This year there are stakes of going to Wembley, which I did not get to do last year, which was a big chip on my shoulder for the second half of the year. So I want to go to Wembley. I want to wrestle for the Women's World Championship because I have not done that. And that is definitely a big goal of mine. And winning there would be, you know, beautiful. Dream moment. Chef's kiss. That's the big one for me right now.
We're on board with that, right? I think we can speak for the show. We're on board with that.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes, absolutely.
I mean, they did also just announce at Forbidden Door the Wrestle Dynasty.
Yes.
On in Japan in January.
January 5th, yep.
That also seems like the kind of thing where it's like, I've mentioned it before, our roster is stacked. We've got so many amazing, talented wrestlers who could take part in that. But there's like this big piece of me that's like, I got to be one of them though. Like, how do I make that happen? I was like the first woman who, while under AEW contract, was going to New Japan and going to CMLL representing our company. So for me, I'm like, I need to be there.
So Willow, our advice here at Good Karma Wrestling is, for at the beginning of the year, just pack your bag and just go.
Yeah.
And then Tony's going to be like, who's left here stateside? Where's Willow? Anybody here? And you could just tell Tony, sorry, I'm already in Japan, so you're going to have to book me.
Yeah, I might as well book me. I'm here.
That's how you do that. He's going to be looking around like, hey, is Willow stateside? No.
No.
All right. Gone. Don't say it out loud now so he knows the plan. You know?
Okay. Sorry.
We got to think about it.
Kayfabe, I'm sorry. July 3rd, again, All Elite Wrestling coming to the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. AllEliteWrestling.com for tickets. And, of course, you can watch Dynamite on TBS every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Willow, it is our pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us some time.
Thank you for chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Willow Nightingale. Man, if I smoked, I'd have a cigarette right now. Where's the cigarette? I'm just like, oh, she's just so great to have on. Such a positive attitude. Just great conversation all the way around with her.
Yeah, trying to repeat as the Owen Memorial Tournament winner. Like, again, talk about building stars. Like, what they've done with Willow has been a blast to watch. She's been a professional wrestler for less than a decade, and she's able to do those things and tell those stories. It's really fun to watch her in the ring.
All right, my friend. We got to take a look at the match of the week. I don't know if people have another 45 minutes, but we got to be able to talk about the match of the week. And you know, I would say Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay, and then I can give everyone else the field.
Yeah.
Because that's at the top. You just knew that it would deliver. You just didn't know how. There's moves I have never seen before, especially on the railing between these two. They've wrestled before, yes. And so they know each other's move. But I just think it was a step above for both of them in this match.
Yeah, just what they were able to do. And like I said, that show overall, like, it was dragging a little bit. Like, I was just not into it. And the bell rang on that match. I'm like, okay, we're good to go now. Like, money well spent. Those two, best of seven. Like, we can do that for the next decade. I'm good to go. Like, I love watching the two of those guys in the ring.
I thought also that even though the match was not long, I thought that Zack Sabre Jr. and Orange Cassidy delivered. I'm not sure if I've ever seen Cassidy submit before.
Yeah.
But the way that was, when we saw from Zack Sabre Jr., that's the kind of wrestling I grew up on. Tie someone in knots and then had them submit.
Right.
Again, never seen that finish before, the way that, but there's no way for Orange to get out of it. So, yes, you're going to nod. Yes, I've had enough. I think Zack Sabre Jr. to me is a guy that should be in AEW and a guy that you could build around.
Yeah, I wrote that match down also. Like, some of the things that Sabre did and the way he tied him up, like, I haven't seen things like that, so I was amazed by that. The other one from Sunday is Mercedes and Stephanie Valcour. Like I mentioned last week, I haven't seen Stephanie in the ring before. I feel like that match delivered, and now Mercedes has more gold around her waist.
I saw Stephanie Valcour for the first time when you sent me to New Japan Strong, the show that it was at Wintrust.
Windy City Riot.
That's what it was, because that was the kind of coming out party for the Scapegoat.
Right.
Yeah, so he comes out there and he gets booed because he has the Chicago flag on his back and he just drops it on the ground. Security had to hold some people back. There was heat there. They didn't like the idea that that young goat did that. But so I saw Valcour there. I was like, who is she? Boy, she's really good. This match told me more about Stephanie Valcour than it did about Mercedes Moné. We don't know that she can go, but Stephanie showed me a lot, I thought, in this matchup. She took a little bit of a beating. Mercedes was good, but I thought that Stephanie was fantastic in this match.
Yeah, I want to see more of her. And, you know, I'm not going to be watching CMLL regularly, but she is someone that now I want to seek out. When I see her on the card, like, I will get excited to see that. And with Mercedes just continuing to get better and shake off that ring rust, where I believe she said this is her fourth match in AEW, like, she's not wrestling that often, but she's making it count when she does go.
I think that what also is good for her, Ryan, is that she's outside of AEW making a name for herself, right? Throwing out the first pitch at the Red Sox game. She was at the Boston Celtics celebration. How did she get on the floor? She with the championship, right? So she, I mean, she's known. She just did an interview with Hot 97, which means that in New York, so we got to get her on the show at some point because she's got a lot to say. But she does a good job of promoting the brand outside of AEW. And that's good.
Yeah.
Good for the company because it makes her even more of a star.
Yeah, no, awesome job by her. And I think those few matches were definitely, you know, highlightable. The other one I threw out there from Friday, I really enjoyed Candice LeRae, Jade Cargill, Tiffany Stratton. One of Jade's best performances that I think we've ever seen.
That match delivered. And I'm happy for Tippy Time in that one.
Yeah.
That definitely is one of my matches of the week as well. It was the best match on the card. I mean, it was for SmackDown. And so, you know, when you're in New York City, you know, you still have to worry about your storylines. But I just think that you have to give some of these major cities a little more. I thought that that was really good to be able to be on SmackDown. I really like that. Monday Night Raw with Drew McIntyre and Ilya Dragunov and Sheamus. When I saw they put that together for Money in the Bank qualifier, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
now, that's when you need commercial free, right? That's right. When you're at the back end. It's like, get out of the 8 minutes of commercials. Give me that wall-to-wall. And three guys that don't mind pain, I loved what I saw there with those three.
The one thing I had for Monday from a storytelling standpoint, the Wyatt Six and the production and the Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy part and just every part of that was very impressive and showed, you know, what they're able to do creatively.
Well, you're a TV guy. Can you put that together? Is that easy or hard to do?
I don't think that's something that's in my toolbox of talents.
I don't think that's true. I mean, you get to just take the color, take the HD out of the camera, right? And then just kind of just mess with the audio and video, make it shake a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's, you could do that.
Like, they made it look like we were watching on VHS. Like, I love, you know, I miss my VHSs. I still have a few hanging around the house just in case, you know, we come back up. But, like, that was awesome to see.
That interview need a tracker.
Yeah.
They need the tracker button. Let me just... All right, now it's good. Thank you. Now,
I am ready. If VCRs ever come back in style, I've got some VHSs ready.
I would agree with you that the storytelling on this is great. I mean, there's two things that I really like lately. Is Jeff Jarrett telling the story about Owen Hart from his heart and trying to talk out his feelings about being in this tournament and how, even today, how he misses Owen Hart and how emotional he got. That's on one spectrum. The other spectrum is this Wyatt Six situation. And I look forward to seeing more because, you know, if no one knew, Uncle Howdy is Bo Dallas and Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy. But they had to explain that apparently last week. So it's like, hey, just so you know, these are the same person. Okay. They're interviewing each other. Okay. Now we got it. So now I expect the little mouse to interview Rowan.
There we go.
So now a sit down one-on-one there. Like I said last week, just tell me where you're going because we got the character development. You're going after Chad Gable. Don't know why it's got to be Chad, why you chose him. Your baby faces, we know that much. It's part of your crusaders and your baby faces.
Right.
But where are you going? Who are you trying to attack?
Yeah, we're going to find out more. So it's fun to see that. Before we get out of here, let's do some news and notes. Let's start with some free agency news in the WWE. Fightful reports that as of midnight Monday, Ricochet officially a free agent. He has been moved to the alumni section of WWE.com. Natalya, her contract's going to expire soon. She has not been backstage at Raw the last few weeks. And Donovan Dijakovic, he is officially a free agent, already making some indie appearances there.
Dijax was, I think he was behind the scenes for Forbidden Door.
Yes, he did tweet that.
Yeah, so he was there. I just don't understand why Dijak did not work in WWE.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, Brian. We got to bring this up. Here's the thing. The thing about Triple H is, it's like, you know what? I like this talent, but we're not carrying a million wrestlers on our roster.
Right.
And that's the difference between AEW and WWE. It's like, I'd rather have Dijak go to the indies and maybe make a return than just to have him sit around at NXT.
Yeah, and right? I think Triple H has sort of shown that. Like, if you go out there and bust your ass and show a different side of you, maybe you're coming back to the WWE because he seems like a WWE guy.
I think the size, and I've always respected him, but that's interesting. Ricochet, I keep hearing that he's on his way to AEW, and it's kind of like, okay, brother, they must be paying well, because don't look for yourself to be able to be at a top spot in AEW. You're just not, and this is no shot at him, but you're probably going to be in the same spot you were in WWE. Like you say, you probably think, okay, I'm a speed champion. This is not good enough. I'm unhappy here. I'm going to leave my girlfriend behind or fiance. But don't look for yourself to be having a title run anytime soon.
No, I agree, but I'm excited to see him, you know, have those matches that he wasn't having under the WWE umbrella. The same breath, I think Natalya in that boat. I'm excited to see her get some non-WWE matches the next few years.
Ricochet is going to be frustrated pretty soon here. He's going to be like, oh, there's 12 guys in the roster that can do what I do.
Different. That's different.
It is not different. It is no different. Please book Ricochet against AR Fox. Please let that happen so you can show this man, Brian Rowan, it's the same. And you, by the way, Natty Neidhart is your friend. Don't you have any information about Natty? Is she leaving the company?
She mentioned at Media Day around Mania she would love to work in Japan. And if you're a free agent, go do that. Now she can.
She's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I just think it's time to do something new. She can go. She can wrestle, but she's just been the mother hen in that company for so long and it got beat for so often. It's time for her to take care of the Natty Neidhart brand.
Money in the Bank, Saturday in Toronto, Sunday NXT Heatwave from Toronto. The title on the line in the main event, a fatal four-way, Trick Williams, Javon Evans, Sean Spears, Ethan Page. Other matches, Kalani Jordan versus Sol Rocha for the Women's North American title. Roxanne Perez defends against Lola Vice. And Oba defends the North American title against Wesley.
You know, the top of that card, just seeing Sean Spears in a main event on NXT, that warms my heart. I'm like, there's a guy there. He's working with the young people, and he's on TV. Same thing with All Ego, Ethan Page. Pretty cool. You know, it's just different. That's all. They're out of the AEW system, and they're visible. People can see them.
The top of that card feels like one of those cards where I probably don't make it to the main event. Like, I'll watch the North American title, Oba. Like, every time I've seen him, it's been impressive. I've only seen him in triple threat matches, though. So him one-on-one with Wesley could be fun. And the women's matches will always deliver like they do on NXT.
I like NXT hanging on to the apron strings of Money in the Bank. Like, hey, we want to run, too. and they'll have a good card. And people that watch NXT that's in Toronto, they'll love it because it's a great wrestling weekend in Toronto.
And finally, news and notes announced this weekend, Wrestle Dynasty coming to the Tokyo Dome January 5th of 2025. That'll be the day after Wrestle Kingdom. The card will include New Japan, AEW, CMLL, Stardom, and Ring of Honor. They got a little mention there also.
I'm thrilled. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You say January 5th?
Yes.
Is that the name? Okay. So a lot of their stars are going to be in Japan. And so, but you got a Dynamite that same week as well. Do they hustle back, or the ones not going, will they be featured to start the year? Because you want to have your best to start the year, don't you?
They said they will figure out a way to, you know, feature both, to still focus on Dynamite. I don't think they hustle back, but there are definitely going to be some stars over in the Tokyo Dome. And one of them who will probably be retired by January, Bryan Danielson, he'll be working the Tokyo Dome.
Wait, you have him working in 2025. Wait a minute.
Yes, there's an opportunity to work the Tokyo Dome. The man's not going to say no to that.
You're unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. You're just unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you what, just a great time to be a professional wrestling fan. That is for sure. Hey, if you're watching and you're enjoying this show, thank you very much. But share. Share and subscribe to this podcast, Good Karma Wrestling. Again, not only on the podcast, but also on YouTube as well. YouTube.com. Hit that subscribe button. That way you miss nothing from Good Karma Wrestling. We have so many interviews and so many conversations that we have. And the shorts. Don't forget the shorts. It's the reason why that Brian and I travel all over the country putting those shorts up for you, because we know you want to see the introduction of all your favorite wrestlers.
Of course.
So for Gabe and Brian, this is Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for joining us on Good Karma Wrestling. Enjoy your wrestling, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us.